Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. So we really thank Rob Satter. He's our fabulous producer. He's taken fabulous care of us all week, so we're very glad for that. In the studio now, Movie Mike McGranahan is back, professional movie critic. His website's aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker, a member of the Critics' Choice Association and the Online Film Critics Society. He's forgotten more about movies than I will ever know, as they say. His appearance is sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg. His review today, we can see clearly, he's going to talk about The Invisible Man.
In The Invisible Man, Elizabeth Moss makes a middle-of-the-night escape from her abusive boyfriend. Unfortunately, he's a scientist who specializes in optics, so he uses his fancy invisibility suit to stalk her. Nobody believes her claims that he's doing this, so she has to take matters into her own hands. If she can actually find him, that is. The movie generates a lot of suspense from this premise, and there are three or four really amazing scenes that make you jump in surprise. Like the main character, you never know where the bad guy is, so you spend the entire movie nervously scanning every inch of the screen, looking for some clue about where he's going to pop out. You can't let your guard down for a single second. If that's all there was to The Invisible Man, it would be a perfectly good thriller. But there's a second level that makes it extra special. The film deals with the issue of domestic violence. Even in his invisible form, Moss's boyfriend continues to execute the pattern. He gaslights her, he isolates her from her family and friends, and he makes her think she's crazy. Exploring the theme of abuse gives the movie an added layer of tension. Elizabeth Moss's outstanding performance makes you feel every second of her character's fear. The Invisible Man is the best Invisible Man movie ever made, hands down. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 4 visits from the ghost of Claude Rains.
Get out of here.
This is a great movie. This is a great horror movie.
I saw the trailer and I thought, well, it looks pretty good, you know, like a scare a minute kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that everything you'd want to have in a decent horror film, always vigilant, is in there.
Yeah, I mean, I see so many horror movies, I rarely get scared, but this movie is very, very scary. And I should add that the current crop of advertising, the second trailer and the TV ads and some of the online ads, are giving away one of the best surprises in this movie. So if you're thinking of going to see it, don't watch any more advertising for it, because they give away one of the best parts. But I was just on the edge of my seat for the entire time.
Oh, fortunately, with such a short memory, I've forgotten what was in the trailer, other than that it looked like a decent horror film. So, yeah. All right, so I'll be sure not to use that. A quick aside, why would they do that? Is that not cinematically weak?
Well, they've got to sell it. The first trailer, which is the one I sent you the link for, doesn't really have anything that gives anything away. The second trailer gives away one of the big jump scares of the movie. And I understand why they're doing it. They want to show people what the movie is and how it can affect you. But I went in not knowing any of that, and I literally jumped about 3 times during this movie. So it's better off if you don't know what happens before you go in.
Okay, and performances? Let's look at the top 2 people.
I mean, they're great. Elizabeth Moss really is one of the best actresses working in Hollywood today. She is so good in this, and it's one of those movies that requires her performance to be brilliant, and it is. This whole movie is about the character's fear, about how she realizes she's being abused. She initially thinks her boyfriend is dead. They initially think that he killed himself, but then she realizes, no, he's got an invisibility method here, and he's coming after me, and she's got to find her strength. So she really takes you through the entire range of what the character goes through, and she is just phenomenal in this.
What is her technique? How does she act? I know she's one of your favorites, so you boned up on this a little bit. What's her secret? Have you heard some of her remarks?
She is just really good at being honest. You don't feel her acting. She makes everything seem so real. And honestly, she's one of those actors, I watch her in a movie, I forget I'm watching a star. I forget I'm watching somebody I know, and I really buy into the character.
All right, who is she a young version of? You know, what's this potential looking like?
I don't know that I'd really compare her to anybody else. I mean, she's just kind of unique in a sense. I mean, she's just very talented and seems to be a very intelligent actress, which comes through in the performances. But I think that she's already had an incredible career. She's going to have an even better career going forward. I think this movie is going to advance the roles that she gets offered exponentially when people really see what she can do. The Modern Horror Movie Hall of Fame, if you're talking about the great performances in horror in the last few years, you got like Toni Collette in Hereditary, Lupita Nyong'o in Us last year, and Elizabeth Moss in The Invisible Man definitely deserves to stand alongside of them.
Okay, so she's already established herself as one of the go-to people for when you really want that fabulous performance. You said that when you watch her, you don't see a star. You see whomever this character is that she's portraying. Who would be an actor or actress that you would watch and you have trouble seeing the character? You end up just seeing the Tom Cruise or whoever.
Yeah, well, there's certainly stars who sort of play their persona. Sylvester Stallone is a great example. You see a Stallone movie, and you always know you're watching Stallone. Schwarzenegger is another one. In the comedy realm, Vince Vaughn is that way, because a lot of the characters he plays, he sort of brings his own inherent persona to. So people like that, even though they can be good in movies, you're always sort of aware that you're watching them.
All right, so it takes a great movie to make them sort of the whole great combination. Elizabeth Moss can take a movie that might just be a pretty darn good horror film, and then she immerses herself in the character and convinces you that the Invisible Man is really there. So, The Invisible Man, four...
Visits from the Ghost of Claude Rains.
Oh, my gosh, man.
Claude Rains, of course, playing the Invisible Man back in the original from the 1930s.
Right, okay. Well, thank you. And how do you spell Rains, please?
R-A-I-N-S.
Okay, I added an extra E there at the end. Okay. What's new in the theaters this week?
Only two this weekend. We've got Onward, which is the new Pixar film about two elf brothers who set out on a quest to find a spell that will bring back their deceased father. And we've got the drama The Way Back. Ben Affleck plays an alcoholic former basketball star who accepts a coaching job at his alma mater, where he may get one last shot of redemption. Ben Affleck started filming this movie literally the day after he got out of rehab for an alcohol problem, so I'm guessing that this performance is very raw and very real.
Oh, okay, so we'll look forward to those. Are you seeing either of those today?
I'm seeing The Way Back today because I promised my 11-year-old I would not see Onward without him.
Good for you. Okay. You're going to at least keep that promise to him. All right. Fabulous. Let's see. New James Bond movie. This is really being talked about globally because of the coronavirus.
This is a big deal. The new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, was all set for April 10th release. Trailers are in theaters, posters, TV ads. And because of the coronavirus fears, the studio has decided to bump it back to November 25th. So James Bond no longer opening in April. But this really, we talk all the time about the worldwide marketplace. The reason they're doing this is that the James Bond movies open globally at the same time, and of course over in China, where they're really being hit hard with the coronavirus, movie theaters are closed. And so they kind of feel like this is not the best time for a worldwide launch of a major film when people with certain parts of the world are not going to be able to go, and it's going to upset fans, and it's going to hurt the box office of the movie. So they've decided to bump it from April to November, and now the question becomes, what's going to happen with the big summer movies? Are they going to end up getting bumped too? We could be looking at just the start of a trend here.
And what's the sort of the economic impact of this?
These movies, something like the Bond movies, they need that global performance. These movies do very well domestically, but they're expensive to make, expensive to market, and of course, if they want to join that $1 billion club that we always talk about, they've got to play worldwide. China is a major part of that makeup. So it's really important to have these movies open globally and to be able to open at the same time, and that's why they're making this switch. They just feel like this is not the right moment to release it.
And it really is just a huge question mark as to when it will come out then.
I mean, they have it set for November 25th, so it come
so
out.
So they did reset.
They did reset it, so it's come out Thanksgiving, which is normally when the Bond films open, either summer or towards the end of the year. But like I said, this could be the first of several big movies that get bumped, depending on how bad the coronavirus continues to spread around the world.
But the film's in the can. It's ready to go.
It was done. It was ready to come out. Daniel Craig is hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow night. night to promote the movie. And it's not coming out now until later in the year.
And how is it? Are you getting a sense from those folks who got the sneak peek at it?
No one has seen it yet. All we know is that it's the longest Bond movie ever. It runs about 2 hours and 40 minutes, I think. Oh. 235, 240.
Okay, so that's does it have an intermission, I
hope? It does not.
Okay, well, I'll have to wait till I have a pause button in front of me for me to see that particular one. Tough news. Timothy Hutton has never had a free ride in his career, and now he's accused of raping a 14-year-old girl in 1983.
Yeah, 1983 in Vancouver, while he was shooting the movie Iceman, a 14-year-old fan approached him in a restaurant, and she claims that he took her and a friend back to his hotel room and raped her. Hutton did settle for $135,000 in 2017 when she raised the issue, but then she abandoned that settlement. So he's rigorously denying it. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
All right. Well, yeah, tough news. Whatever happened to him? He's out there?
He's still around and working.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, so he's working. All right. And Katy Perry, the big news. How did she reveal this? I saw it was in a video or something.
Music video for a new song called Never Wore White. And at the end, she's turned to the side, and you can see that she's very pregnant. So she's got a baby on the way and a fifth album coming out this summer.
All right. So we're good for her. All right. Yep. So there's some good news for us to get behind. I'm a big Katy Perry fan as well.
Me too.
Movie Mike McGranahan. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you coming in again. Movie Mike McGranahan, his appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater Lewisburg.